In dying, Christ destroys our death, and in rising, Christ restores our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Jack put on Christ, so now may he be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are all God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves just as Christ is pure. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. Friends, we have gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Jack Cox Wheeler. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. So we pray that God may grant us grace, that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow we may find hope, and in death we may find a resurrection. I invite you to join me in a spirit of prayer. Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially we praise you for Jack, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To all of your servants, Lord, grant your peace. Let perpetual light shine upon them and help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last with them into the joy of your home. A home not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thou art. joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Our scriptures today come from the Old and the New Testament, first from Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. In our New Testament lesson from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, where Jesus says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." May God add his blessing to the hearing and reading of the scriptures today.
Grace and peace to you, brothers and sisters, from the one who was, who is, and who is to come. We gather together today to share in your pain and to mourn your loss, but also we gather together today to worship the risen Lord and to celebrate the life of Jack Wheeler. Let me take just a moment to express my gratitude to Margie and the family for reaching out and inviting me to share a role in the celebration of Jack's life. I cannot tell you what an honor it is to be here today. Also, I'm thankful to Thomas for his ministry here, for his gracious invitation to come and to be a part of this service. Thank you. To Rick and to Bill and to Joan, I have heard all of them before, but I just always love them sharing their music, so thank you all. Thank you. Last Friday, I was talking to my immediate predecessor here, Mark Westmoreland. We're talking about today and my honor at the invitation. And I said, to decline this invitation would be akin to turning down a direct order from a very, very, very superior officer. I remember the first time I heard Jack's name mentioned. It was a Sunday afternoon in April a few years ago. It was the day that it was announced here that I was coming to be the pastor. That afternoon, I called Jim Minner. Susan and I have been honored to call Jim and Ann friends for many years. I called Jim and we talked about the church quite a bit and just my excitement at coming here. And I remember him saying, "You need to get to know Jack Wheeler." And I said, "Great, I will. Tell me why." And Jim said, "Because Jack is your best and smartest member." And I will always remember that. So if you were here and you thought that you were the best and smartest member, please don't take offense. But I knew that I really wanted to get to know Jack. And I did. I was blessed with the opportunity to come to know him. I learned of his career, of course. A proud, and I mean very proud, graduate of the University of North Georgia, back in the day, North Georgia College. For decades, he not only maintained friendships with classmates, and you'll hear more about that later, I have a feeling, but also supported and served the school in more ways than probably anybody but Margie will ever know. He served, as you know, in Vietnam and in Korea, served the Pentagon, and helped design the volunteer army in which I served. He was commanding general of the U.S. Army Recruiting Command, the Army Adjuncts General Corps Hall of Fame, Georgia Veterans Hall of Fame. He testified before Congress, and I'm barely scratching the surface. I know all of this because I was interested, and I made it my business to learn. I would have probably never known it if I had depended on Jack to tell me, because he would have never said it. The Army gave me opportunities to serve with generals. Some of them I really liked. Some of them I really liked. But I never, never served under a general with the humility of Jack Wheeler. One thing about Jack I never got accustomed to was that he called me sir. He did that out of deference to my role as pastor. But boy, I had a hard time with that. It just never quite seemed right for me. But that was Jack. The phrase servant leader is common today, made popular by a fellow named Robert Greenleaf, who literally wrote the book, Servant Leadership. But the reality is Jack's picture could have been on the cover. He was a leader. If you knew him, you knew that. But he led through this marvelous spirit of gentle humility. I'll tell you who he reminds me of. And if he were here, he would not let me say this. And he would shy away from the comparison. But as I read through Scripture, I honestly think about King Solomon. It's not too long before we meet Solomon that he prays for wisdom, right? He wants to be a leader for the people, but he wants to be a wise leader. And he wants to always put his people first. He doesn't pray for riches. He doesn't pray for honor. He wants to be a good leader for his people. 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, this is how he prays. "You have shown great love to my father David and have made me succeed him as king. O Lord God, let your promise to my father David now be fulfilled. For you have given me people to lead greater than the number of sands on the earth." And he says this, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge so that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can lead this great people of yours?" I can imagine Jack praying that prayer before every new assignment. He loved his life in the military. He loved his country. He loved his community. 2016, I played a small part in a group that was getting together a remembrance service for the 15th anniversary of the events of September 11th, 2001. And as we started talking about who would be our keynote speaker, Jack was such the obvious choice. Had the honor of calling and issuing the invitation. And he demurred and said, "I'm sure there's somebody else y'all would rather hear from." But of course, he was the best choice. And he was incredible for both his country and his community. As important as military career was, he was so much more than that. Whether you were in the Army or not, if he was your friend, you had a marvelous friend. As a pastor, you're always grateful for those people to whom you can reach out. and just ask them their candid thoughts on one subject or another. I can lay out a situation in the church and trust that they will not only give their honest opinion, but they will hold the conversation in the strictest of confidence. Jack did that for me when I was here. That's what friends do. He would talk of friends he has had from over the years, and like I said, you will hear some more about that later, but he always did so with genuine affection. You could see that in his interactions with all of his friends here at the church, and you could see that and hear that in any conversation every time his name came up. I don't know how many people called him friend, but to know that each of us who did so were blessed by his friendship. But even more than his friendships was his family. He loved his siblings and their families. I'm sure he was thrilled with little Max, and just I know that that just thrilled his soul. You will hear from some of his great-grandchildren. He loved you all. You know that. You know that. He spoke of you often and with great pride. I am a granddad. There's a special way you talk about your grandchildren. Leanne, Alan, there's nothing I can tell you about how much you meant to your dad that you don't already know. He loves you deeply. And Margie, after 58 years, I'm certain that the hardest part for Jack of leaving this life was leaving you. He wanted the absolute best for you, always. I heard that in every conversation. You were the love of his life. I noticed in the obituary it said this: Jack was respected and admired by all who knew and worked with him because of his work ethic, knowledge, sense of humor, and humble personality. In spite of his many achievements, honors, and awards, Jack never seemed to take himself too seriously and eagerly gave his respect to others. His life might best be described as one of service and devotion to God, country, family, and community. I did read that before putting my thoughts on paper, and I went back and I read it again after. And when I read those two sentences, I thought, that's what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to say. Even in the face of cancer, he was rock steady. Thomas shared with the family just a few moments ago, when he would call and want to go visit Jack, Jack would say, I'm sure there are more people who need you more. That was Jack. After he was diagnosed, I reached out to him, and he was always upbeat. It reminded me of something I read a long time ago, what cancer cannot do. It says, cancer is so limited. It cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot destroy peace. It cannot kill friendship. It cannot suppress memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot steal eternal life. It cannot conquer the spirit. Jack lived that out. One more quote that I went back and looked up, thinking about Jack. When Tony Snow, the journalist, was diagnosed with cancer, he wrote the following: blessings arrive in unexpected packages. In my case, cancer. Those of us with potentially fatal diseases, and there are millions in America today, find ourselves in the odd position of coping with our mortality while trying to fathom God's will. Although it would be the height of presumption to declare with confidence what it all means, Scripture provides powerful hints and consolations. The first is that while we shouldn't spend too much time trying to answer the why questions, why me? Why must we suffer? Why can't someone else get sick? We can't answer such things, and the questions themselves are often designed more to express our anguish than to solicit an answer. I don't know why I have cancer, and I don't much care. It is what it is. But even while staring into a mirror darkly, great and stunning truths begin to take shape. Our maladies define a central feature of our existence. And he goes on to talk about life, death, and resurrection. Jack knew all of this. Of all the marvelous things about him we celebrate today, we celebrate his deep and abiding faith that he had in Christ Jesus as Lord. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, those were not just words to Jack. They were the promise of eternal life. Jack knew that he had, was, and always would be safe in the arms of the love of God. What did Paul say in Romans? Who shall separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither height nor depth, nor any power, there is nothing in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jack knew that nothing in all creation could separate him from the love of God. Such was his faith. And that is why we gather together today, because of our belief in the Lord that Jack loved and the Lord that we love. We believe that Christ lived, died, and rose again to live forever. We believe that when we make him Lord of our life, he gives to us life eternal. Scripture teaches that to us. Jack believed it, and so do we. We believe that the moment he took his last breath, he was in the presence of our Lord in heaven. And we believe that those of us who love the Lord, even as Jack loved the Lord, will see him again. And so we don't come to say goodbye. We come to say we will see him later. And even though we'll miss him in the meantime, we celebrate the fact that he will never again suffer and never again hurt. Although we grieve for ourselves today, we rejoice for Jack. It's hard for us. It's especially hard for all of you. But the hard part for Jack is over, because he is now a member of the church triumphant. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the life of Jack Wheeler. Father, we thank you that your Spirit lived in him, and we could see you in him. We thank you for the example he set for all of us who knew him, especially, dear Lord, for his family, for those of us, those who knew him and loved him most. Lord, we thank you for his legacy. We thank you that his courage, his humor, his commitment, all he was, lives on in his family today. And we pray that you would send your Spirit of comfort, hope, and assurance to rest with them, to rest with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's an honor to speak to you today as Jack's friend. Little did I know when I met Jack Wheeler, incoming freshman cadet, North Georgia College in 1957, that we'd be lifelong friends. We were in the same company and dorm. He excelled in military academic and academic studies. What you may not know is that Jack was also a gifted musician. I believe it was sometime during sophomore year that he gathered about a dozen friends and organized a dance band. Jack was the director, the arranger, and the booking agent. Their staple was big band music, much of it from the 40s, music you could dance to and sing along with. They were much in demand on campus and appropriately named the Generals. Who could have known, okay? Jack was commissioned and left for the 2nd Infantry Division at Fort Benning. Following his tour as a combat arms officer, he moved to the personnel business. Jack's talent and personnel skills were becoming well known when he was ordered to the Pentagon. He was selected to work for General Max Thurman, one of the brightest minds in the Army. General Thurman surrounded himself with a small group of smart action officers to study critical issues affecting the future of our Army. Those of us in the outer circle refer to them as thermites. The name was intended as a show of respect. Jack was indeed a thermite. One example of their work would be during the Army's transition from a draft to an all-volunteer force. This was a huge undertaking. We had approximately 700,000 soldiers in uniform at that time. How do you provide opportunity and recruit quality young people in a volunteer environment? Certainly there were doubters, but the concept was very successful and has withstood the test of time. Jack's contribution to the all-volunteer Army was recognized again during his induction into the Georgia Military Veterans Hall of Fame last November. What you may not know is tomorrow afternoon in the rotunda of the Georgia State Capitol, Governor Kemp will recognize Jack and the other inductees. Colonel Gerald Lord, NGC classmate, will attend and stand for Jack. More than 15 years would go by before we'd be in the same unit. When he came to the 1st Armored Division in Ansbach, Germany, the expectation was that we would always have the right people with the right skills in the right time, with Jack in charge of personnel. There was no disappointment. This time our families also bonded. We had married our college sweethearts, and now our children were sharing their teenage years. More than years later, while we were at Fort Sheridan, Jack and Margie made a brief appearance on their return from Korea. Jack was to be assigned to Sheridan as the deputy commander of the Army's recruiting command. During the dinner to welcome them, Jack had a phone call from the General Officer's Management Office. "Don't unpack. Your assignment has been changed." Jack and Margie would be returning to Washington. Saying welcome and goodbye at the same dinner was a little awkward. It was bittersweet. A couple years passed, and the announcement came. Jack Wheeler to receive Second Star and return to Fort Sheridan as Commanding General of the Army's Recruiting Command. I was Chief of Staff. Hearing the news was one of my happiest moments in uniform. He understood the mission like few others, a command of 12,000 with recruiters from coast to coast. He touched each one of them at least once. He could be tough, and he had a grueling work ethic, but people gravitated to him. They wanted to work for him. He was smart, humble, treated people with respect, and appreciated effort. Jack Wheeler wanted everyone around him to be successful. He and Margie were a perfect team. He traveled, Margie planned the next gathering, and tried to keep watch over families. He seemed to be on call 24/7. We finally convinced him to take a break and join us for an Ann Murray concert. He enjoyed the concert so much that I think he used it to deflect other leisure invitations by reminding us of the nifty Ann Murray concert. Nifty was Jack's favorite adjective. We retired to Noonan, and Jack and Margie settled down in a place they both love, here in Fayetteville. Jack divided time between consulting in Washington and the Citizen newspaper. He admired the staff, and he loved the people and the friends he found at the paper. Our grandson learned to fish in the lake behind their house, and our friends became their friends. We enjoyed concerts and dinners. In fact, we even tried to coordinate our doctor's appointments to schedule lunch, usually at the Broadway Diner on Glen Street. With a little encouragement from people like Jim Minter, we joined a group called Friends of Forever, mostly NGC guys from the class of 50, 51, and 52. We were easily the junior members. I think they let us in on probation, actually. We met at Petit Auberg in Atlanta. Hoss Matthews was our leader. Phil Collins would come down from the university and give us an update. We made wonderful memories, but age and travel took its toll, and attendance declined. The restaurant closed. We needed a new plan. So about 10 years ago, five of us from North Georgia began meeting quarterly at Jim and Nick's Barbecue in Hiram, Georgia. Gerald came from Dahlonega, Terry from Douglasville, Roger from Rockmart, me from Noonan, and Jack. It was fellowship at its finest. We became so good at solving the world's problems that Jack named us Global Solutions Group. No sports or political stone was left unturned. Today we're saying goodbye to one of the finest servant leaders to ever serve his country or his community. I love Jack as a lifelong friend. I'm sure you love him as a father, a grandfather, a husband, or a friend. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Wheeler. I'm Jack's grandson, Alan's son. Just jump right in. I thought today was going to be tough, and it really has. You know, the day of celebration, I walk in and I see pictures I've not ever seen before. I've met people from the local American Legion, from the Air Force, from the Army, from the paper, from the church, and then a really strong group, the North Georgia roommates and grads. I did not go to North Georgia, and I used to joke, like, granddad, I betrayed you. Cole and I went to another commissioning source, but it's really cool. I think that group is very unique, and it's been really special. I've heard a lot of stories today I've never heard before, especially granddad's sense of humor. I guess his role to me was being a grandfather, and it seems across all these groups, he was a little bit of a jokester, and his dry humor, it's been a really special day. But really three big things I think I'll remember most about my grandfather. And one is identity. And how do you identify as a man? I think that's a question I've been trying to answer for myself. I transferred from the infantry to civil affairs, and I'm working around a lot of really highly qualified soldiers. And I felt a little bit inadequate when I first got there. Maybe intimidated, and I really, you know, was searching, what does it mean to be a man? And I thought back to my granddad, and you've heard his resume, it's incredible, but granddad never talked about that. It wasn't his identity. His identity wasn't he was a general, it wasn't the degrees he had. I started Googling him when I was in college and found out new stuff all the time. Granddad never talked about it because it's not what he identified as. He was a general. So Harvard degrees and master's degrees and Pentagon, I can find him on C-SPAN. And I think that helped me in my search. What does it mean to be a man? It's not your status or your rank, the size of your house. It's a lot deeper than that. So that'll always be one of the big things that sticks with me about my granddad. And that goes back, you've heard it many times, that humility and servant leadership, that was his identity and who he was as a man in Christ and involved in the church and community and a leader of soldiers and a leader in his family. Number two, something that'll stick with me, and this really goes back to grandmama. If granddaddy ever told me a story, you never heard. So when he was, got him talking about the past, it was him and grandmama, it was we. And really, I was married 2 years ago, and when we first got married, it's kind of common habit. I was, my credit card, your credit card, my car, your car, Sam didn't bring any debt, my debt, I think we grew a lot. I was like, my granddad uses the we in everything, whether he's talking about units he worked with, accomplishments, soldiers, was never I, and I did this. It was always we, and I apply that to my marriage. And Sam and I now, whenever we discuss cars or finances, it's the term, the word we and team. And want to thank Granddad for that one. And he never had to tell me. It was just how he lived his life, and that's how I, watching him and how he lived really rubbed off on me. And then last one, some of his leadership qualities. And really, as a grandson, I've not been able to experience firsthand a lot of your typical ones, but one or several that really stick out to me is humility. When I was a cadet, I was a political science major, and I thought I was brilliant for a little while. And I'd have all these new ideas, and I'd fire them off. Granddad and I probably emailed weekly since I was in high school. Like you said, politics. Maybe I was part of Global Solutions, too, and didn't know it. But he would listen, and he was brilliant, and I'd spit off my new ideas and politics or how I was going to change this part of an organization. And he listened, and I knew he had answers, but he'd always let me finish. And I think sometimes, me personally, I'm quick. When we're talking to someone, you're quick to jump in and interrupt with your idea. That wasn't my grandfather. I guess it comes back to respect and just humility. Great listener, and I think that's important when being a leader. It's also been said he never took himself too serious. I did not know about his sense of humor, but I've met one or two of his former aides and some hilarious stories. Super hard worker, but also had a lot of fun, it sounds like. And finally, Granddad, I've emailed for years, and my current assignment, I think I sought after based on our discussions. I'm going to miss that, and his leadership and his wisdom. I appreciate everyone being here, and that's all I got. Coleman's up.
Tyler. Thanks everyone for coming today. I know one thing that Tyler brought up at the beginning and that really meant a lot to me, and I know to the family as well, is we have one lens and one perspective of our granddad, and that was more kind of the stuff he had done after his time in the military. But what we saw, a lot of it had manifested itself into our lives, and we could look back on the lens, the same servant leader, the same humbleness, the same way he approached our lives. I'm going to talk about a few of these things. And we get to see that in our life, but it's actually phenomenal, really, to talk to friends, family, coworkers, whoever it may be, just to hear them share stories with us, and it really means a lot. And really, it's really fascinating to see the man that my grandfather Jack was. And so, kind of going back, I figured kind of this past week, looking in kind of back and jogging my memory a little bit, and hearing about his passing, and then even before that, me and him had actually maintained a pretty steady communication before then. It was kind of the things that he has done is, it's a giant list of accomplishments or accolades, and instead of talking about what he did, I'd like to talk about maybe who I thought he was, and then maybe a whimsical story to start off, and then maybe get a little serious towards the end. Back when Tyler and I were little, as well as the other kids, Sydney and Nikki, as well as Brittany, Colin, and Hannah, we used to go visit our grandparents all the time on the weekends. We only lived about an hour, 15 minutes away. And so when I was 8 years old, I remember it very specifically, my granddad got into the habit, once we got older and more responsible, of giving out coins to us, my brother and I. And if you're not familiar with what a coin is in the military, it's something a commander or organization, they have a coin, that's their emblem. It'll have maybe a personal symbol, a unit symbol, whatever it is, and he gives us these coins. And me being an 8-year-old, maybe I was not quite as appreciative of it as I am now, but this one special time when I was 8, he would give his coins in our departure, and he gave me this star, this little silver star that he puts on top of his uniform for his rank. I didn't really know what it meant at the time. I was about 8, and so I took the star, and he said, "Now you keep close track of this. This is pretty important." And I was like, "All right, Granddad, I will." And so 3 hours had passed, not too long, and we were on our way out of the house. The parents had come to pick us up, and it was time to leave and grab my stuff, and that little spot in the mantle where I put my star was no longer there. And scattered around the house, a little panicky, and finally I fessed up and told him, I was like, "Granddad, I can't find your star." And he looked down at me, and I was ready for it. Yeah, it's fine. It's just a piece of metal. And I looked up, and I said, I'm glad my grandfather's a forgiving man. And I think that right there, talking about what Tyler said with his identity, and talking about, you know, what is love, and love holds no record of wrongdoing. And that's what my grandfather was. And that's a small story for an 8-year-old, but that in and of itself was something that carried throughout his entire life, whether there's bigger acts of forgiveness that he's bestowed upon people in his career, but that's what I saw. So as we grew up, we saw his sacrifice, and we saw Grandmama as well, coming to across the state for baseball games, all the way to New York for college visits. We saw them give up ample amounts of time and self-sacrifice in order to come visit us and support us, support his son. It really meant a lot to me. But at that time, you know, it was just kind of the grandfather-grandson relationship. And then really until this last year, I think I developed a new relationship with him and more of a friend. When I was away, we communicated a lot via email. And we got a lot closer really this past year, year and a half, than I'd ever been with him before. And I know as we talked, as his health started to decline, we got into a very biblical discussion, and we discovered each other's faiths and continued to kind of take deep dives into them. We talked about a vast array of topics from, like I said, family, you know, being a servant leader, his mentorship to me in the Army. But that's what meant the most to me, was his faith and what it meant to him to serve the Lord. And I know we had settled upon a few verses and a few passages. I'll be brief. With I think that summed up who he was, and then what me and him, or he and I together, had perceived, I guess, his coming years. You know, we didn't know how long he was going to be with us on this earth. The two passages that we brought up that come, they spawn off the promise that we talked about earlier. We heard of it from Romans 8 and John 14, the promise that, you know, Christ has come, and because of his sacrifice for us, he's prepared a place for us. But we don't always know the time and the timing of God. And we, you know, sometimes it can catch us off guard, and sometimes we're prepared. And so in Romans 11, the doxology at the end of it, I think, was the lens that my grandfather and I had decided to perceive his passing. It reads as this, Romans 11, starting in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And that beginning, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. We may not fully understand his paths and his judgments, but we concluded that we would take the perspective of Job. So at the very, very end of Job, the last chapter, in chapter 42, we hear this, this epic rant from God to Job, for Job questioning him at the end of his account. And Job, after standing there for about four chapters in the Bible, but we don't know how long, Job turns and he replies. It says, then Job replied to the Lord. This is chapter 42. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? And Job says, surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. And so that's the best way I can think about my grandfather and think about his perspectives and the outlook of his passing was that he trusted in Christ and he trusted in his promise. And he came with a very humble perspective that we might not always want the timing to be the way it was or the circumstances the way they are when they're on in life. But we can sit back from a humble perspective that Job had at the very end and sit back and say, we glorify you, Father. I just thank you all for your time, and I thank you for gathering here today in order to just remember my grandfather. So, thank you.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden me, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can walk on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can walk on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. On mountains, you raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Raise me up to more than I can be.
What a privilege it is as a pastor to be standing in a place where the words and the man and the legacy speak for themselves, and you are not needed but requested. Dr. Campbell and I feel that as an honor and a privilege today to stand and celebrate Jack's life. It probably goes without saying for many in here that out of everyone here, I knew Jack Wheeler the least, so I'm grateful for the stories, for the pictures that have been painted through the words, for the people in this congregation who have shared with me a glimpse of the man that has allowed us to be together as we celebrate his life. There's a phrase that someone once said, "We sit under the shade of trees that we did not plant, and we drink from wells that we did not dig." For many of us, that is true because of Jack Wheeler. He has dug wells that we now benefit from being refreshed at the cool waters. And we rest under the shade of seeds that this man has planted for us so that we might be blessed and be a blessing to others. I'm able to be a pastor of this congregation because of people like Jack Wheeler. And the stories that have been shared today and the character of the man that is larger than life, they are just stories. But stories help us celebrate and stories help us remember. One of the things that Margie said to me the other day, and I'm going to not quite get it exactly right, but you heard a thread of this throughout everything that was said. You could have talked about his medals and accomplishments and achievements, but you'd rather have told the stories that got him to those places of reward. Because those are the stories that tell us about the man. Stories help us participate in the resurrection in some small, mystical way. For as we share our stories, we're reminded of a song or a smell or the weather or where you were. And our senses give way to life, even life after death, that reminds us that there is hope and that there is a resurrection. Stories that tell us about medals and awards allow us to participate and celebrate. Because medals and awards are symbols, but the stories have changed lives. The medals and the awards, accomplishments carry deep meaning, but they tell the story. And they symbolize something remarkable, something extraordinary. They are there to remind us of service. They are there to remind us of love. In the life of the church, we too have symbols that remind us of God's love. In our United Methodist tradition, we have baptism and communion. And we call those symbols, we set them apart, we call them sacraments. They tell us about God's love that is at work in our lives. But more simply put than that, we call them means of grace. Those things that help us experience the love of God that is at work in our world and in our midst. Means of grace then become everywhere for us when we share the stories of accomplishments or medals or awards or a big band music group called the Generals, or a barbecue at Jim and Nick's, or a star given in love. These symbols become means of grace that communicate to us that God's love has been at work in Jack's life and will continue to be at work in ours. I did not know Jack Wheeler in the way that you did, but I know that he has run this race in faith and now rests from his labors. Before he ever belonged to us, he belongs to God. So we know that God has received him into God's heavenly home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens, just as God waits upon all of us who call upon God in times of help and trouble. The means of grace are among us. The means of grace are present in our sharing, in our stories, and in the resurrection because of the life and the love of Jack Cox Wheeler. Let us pray. God of love, we thank you for all with which you have blessed us, even to this day. For the gift of joy and days of health and strength. For the gifts of your abiding presence and promise in days of pain and grief. We praise you for home and for friends, and for our baptism and for our place in your church, with all who have faithfully lived and died. Above all else, we thank you for Jesus, who knew our griefs, who died our death, and rose for our sake, who lives and prays for us. And as he taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite you to stand in body or in spirit for the benediction, which comes to us from Romans chapter 11. For the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor, who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory now and forever. Amen.